we're going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. All right. Now, if you'll go there, we will be in chapter 3. And if you missed last weekend, I'd encourage you to get online at our website, and you can find the sermon. It's very easy with the music, the whole deal. And because it's the setup that God gave me in November, the title of the teaching, the series we're in, eventually this will go, I really don't know how much, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, and then we'll get right back in the book of Acts. But with me on the overhead, take a look. And I want you to say with me, this is the title that God gave me in November to take care of for the 2021. Here it is. Say it with me at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. God says, let's go forward together. That's what we're doing. Now, what we learned last week is this. Last weekend, we learned that God designed every single person to do life with him. Every single person was created to do life with him. Not on your own. Other friends, of course. Remember the whole principles? God, we love him. We love people. We use our time well. Well, how early did that key that you must do life with God start? Adam and Eve. Right from the beginning. God didn't just create them and go, have a nice life, I'll see you. No, he began to talk with them. He began to walk with them. He began to challenge them. And so it has never stopped. That is the principle through the word of God. Always, we need to be doing life with God. Life is a journey. He's the only one that knows how to direct our life. So again, as you think about that, God primarily speaks through the word of God, so we are to listen and obey. Notice that statement said, God says, we're following him. In this series, God will speak to all of us and show us how to do life right. Now, Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, he basically wrote this to Timothy, who was the head of he was a younger guy and head of a church that Paul actually established. But Paul's actually now in jail. But look what he writes on the overhead. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture, New Testament, Old Testament, is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach what is true, Vieira Sebastian, what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So our title today is all about that. Here is the title for this weekend. Learning from our past, but living life forward. Learning from our past. Now, this past is going to be your past, my past, but also the Bible tells us God gave us the word, specifically the Old Testament, to learn from people's past. And we'll cover many of those. Actually, I'll cover one of those today. See, people, you could just start mentioning names. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Jacob. You just start naming them. And there's things we can learn from their past that were really good, but there's things we can say, no, I don't want to do that. So we don't only learn from our past, but we learn from the past in the scripture. Now, God spoke to Paul to write the book of Philippians you're going to look at. And even though he was in prison, Paul's going to focus on one thing, how to get his church, that's who he's writing to be spiritual and growing in their spiritual life. Now, we know that our role model is Jesus. And he has basically three ways, there's many more, but these are the three key ways to measure your spiritual growth, my spiritual growth. What does that look like? Here they are. Number one, God wants us to think like Jesus. That means to have the mind of Christ or the mind of God. And that means we have to think like the Bible thinks. That's why we teach the Bible. Now, the second thing is God wants us to be like Jesus, that character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those, that needs to be constantly growing in our walk. And the third one is this. God wants to do the works of Jesus. In other words, we minister like Jesus. Every one of us, God has a plan for us as a Christian, as a Christ follower. And he has things for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that. Before we even were created, he has things for us to do. And he will gift us to do those kind of things. He's not asking us to be everybody to be a pastor or whatever like that or an elder. No, it's just different things that God wants to do. Now, Paul has two goals, and you'll see them in the chapter. Two goals. Here's the first one. Let me read it to you in Philippians. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, that sounds strange, but he knew God. The one that freed him was Jesus. So here's his first goal. Paul wanted to know Christ better in every single way in his life. He wanted to think and to be and to minister like Jesus did. Here's the second one that sometimes we forget. Paul wanted to be and do all that God had planned for him. What that really means is Paul knew God had a plan for him, as he does for all of us, and he wants to finish well. If you're around people and you've been a Christian a long time, you will find people that started fantastic, but they don't finish well. Paul says, I'm not going to do that. See, life is a journey with God. We're following him. We are to learn from him. He's the one that has the wisdom. So we follow him. But it is not like a little one-block race. It's a lifetime of following him. It's basically long. And Paul says, I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to finish well. Everyone here wants to do that. Remember? What do you want to hear from God? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's exactly what he's saying. We don't want to get sidetracked and just go away. Now, when you see that, verse 12, look at verse 12, Philippians 3, verse 12, look at your Bibles. Make sure you're bringing a Bible or an iPad or a phone. You need to know that I'm teaching God's word. Now, here it is. Philippians 3, 12, you see it on the overhead. Not that I have already obtained this, Paul is saying, that's my wish, that's my goal, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. What does that mean? I'm going forward to take hold of that which Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, took hold of me. See, after walking all these years with Christ, Paul says, I've not arrived yet. Now, remember, he's talking to a church. And Paul was not satisfied with his spiritual growth and his maturity. So he wanted to keep growing spiritually. Paul knew that he had not accomplished everything God had for him. And when you see that, he has a forward focus. Paul lived kind of with this attitude. You've heard of it. The best is yet to come. That's the way he lived like, because he was excited about his future. Now, what is a picture of spiritual maturity that we're growing, that we're maturing in those areas? Here it is. A sign of spiritual maturity is our desire to keep growing and moving forward with God. So let me ask you a question. Is that desire in your life to go forward with God, keep growing with God? Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor Mark, I don't think I'll ever be like Jesus. I didn't say you need to be like Jesus. Relax. Spiritual maturity, this is important. Spiritual maturity, the goal is continued progress, not perfection. Not perfection. Some of you live with a perfectionist. It's not very easy, is it? But God never said you have to be 100% perfect, because none of us could ever do that. We have that old sin nature in us. But we should be growing. We should be moving forward. So Paul says that. Now, when you see this, the more we go forward, it's going to be directly connected to wisdom, God's wisdom. The whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. Remember, the book of James says, if you need wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to us. We all need wisdom, and he'll give it to us. But here's Proverbs 1, 5. Look at this. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. In other words, we're talking about a mature Christian that's growing. They're wise. They're listening to God. They're using his principles. But God doesn't say, just because you have some of them, don't stop. You need to be wiser. So, and you actually know this. I know this. The more we grow spiritually, the more we discover we need to grow more. It's just not enough. That's why the whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom. Wisdom. Maybe the Bible says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Well, the one that has wisdom is God. So that comes through his word and, of course, walking with him. Now, Paul writes this. Look at this. I have it for you in the New Living. Vera, Sebastian, you guys in the balcony. I'm torn between two desires. So he's struggling. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, he's talking to the church like I'd be talking to the church. But for your sakes, the people in the church, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive. He had to have gotten that from God. So I can continue to help all of you. Watch me. All of you watching. All the campuses. I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Now, Paul knew that heaven was going to be incredible. How did he know that? Well, he had a visit to heaven. Paul was taken up to heaven. He didn't know if it was a dream, a vision. He didn't know what. But when he went up to heaven, he came back and he couldn't put it into words because it was fantastic. And he says, I know God wants more things from me to do before I die. So anybody here, if you had a choice to help a few people or go right to heaven this afternoon, how many take right to heaven? No, don't be fakey. I'd like to go to heaven right now, wouldn't you? Before this next crazy stuff happens in our world, I'd like to go right to heaven because I'm going to be there forever. Praise the Lord. But what does Paul say? I've been there. It was fantastic. But God's beginning to speak to him. No, I'm not done with you yet. You have to know this. If you can still breathe, God has something for you to do. I'm serious. Because we're alive. So Paul says, I won't go because I want to help other people. He's talking about his congregation. Now, what does that heart look like? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of a pastor. That's the heart of elders. You have to understand that. That's my goal. As a pastor, all of our pastors, all of the elders, our goal is to see you growing in being useful to God and to finish well. That's why sometimes I have to challenge you, as I challenge myself. Sometimes I encourage you. I try always to have you leave with hope. But we need help. And so the scripture, remember we read it? It'll correct us, things that we did wrong, and it'll help us, and it'll move us in this direction. So that was the heart of Paul. That's my heart. That's the heart of all pastors that are following God. That's just the way it looks. Now, look at this next thing. It says, it's my desire for you. That's my desire for you. Now look at the next verse. Now know, dear brothers, he's writing to the church again, and sisters, I have not achieved everything I know I should, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now notice he says one thing. I know many of you can do a lot of things at the same time. But sometimes we focus on too many things. And if you focus on too many things, you'll probably miss the main thing. So he says, I'm just going to pick one thing, Paul says. And he knew he had to be focused on the life of Jesus. Remember, he spent 3 years with Jesus in the wilderness. So he knew the heart. So Paul is looking, I'm going to get past my past and look to the future. Now today, God's going to, through Paul, is going to teach us two big steps. Here's the first one. Take a look. Write it down. Forgetting, letting go of my past. Now, if you look at that, you go, that's impossible. It is, except you have to realize the real definition. This is huge. Warren Wiersbe is one of the greatest, he's passed on now, but one of the greatest commentators. He makes it a commentary kind of a guy. He makes it simple. Listen to what I'm going to say. Vieira, Sebastian, you guys up there, down here, all of you watching on, listen very carefully. He writes this. Please keep in mind that the Bible terminology to forget does not mean to fail to remember. Now think about that, because that's what we always think about. Here's the way he writes it. Apart from senility, hypnosis, or brain malfunction, no mature person can forget what's happened in their past. If I name a vacation spot for you, and it could be 25 years ago, for most of it, woo, man, I'd like to be there again. See, you remember it. You can't forget it. It's there. But what he's saying is, understand this. We may wish that we could erase some bad memories as well. I hope I'd just never like to think about that again. But we cannot. That's the teaching this morning. Here's a definition you want to write down. If you don't get it now, get it online when you see it again. Put it in your, wherever you have your devotional in the morning. Look at this. To forget, no longer influenced by or affected by my memories. I can remember it, but because God forgives us, I'm never affected by it anymore. It's done. It's finished. It's over. Do you understand? Three of you, I have to go through it again? You won't forget it, but it doesn't have any influence on you anymore. It just isn't there. Because God, you're going to see that God takes that away from us. So we don't have to think about it again. Now, here's something else. As you look back over our past, there's two things we should forget so we can move forward. Here's the first one. Look on the overhead. Forget our past accomplishments and successes. Take a look. This is from my office, just one of them. I have many offices like this. Yeah, right. I can well do this, but I couldn't do any of that. It's just a stupid joke. Okay, you did laugh a lot, though. I'm not sure about that. Notice, first forget our past accomplishments and our successes. This blue suitcase has our past in it of successes and wonderful accomplishments. Now, why is Paul saying that? Why shouldn't I remember those things? You'll see. Think of it. Now, remembering, it's on the overhead, our past accomplishments or successes can be a good thing. If we allow those memories to empower us to live by faith, to go forward. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever been healed by God? Let me see your hand. Good. Now, 2 weeks from now, you get sick. How are you going to use that past? Here's the way I use it. I do this quite often. When I'm not feeling well, something happens, I just stop in a bed and I say to God, God, you're my healer. You healed me many times. I have history with you. It's in my past. See, that's good. That's good. And what you're going to see today is an example from the Bible. Forget my past, accomplishments and successes. But if I use it correctly to move forward, that's wonderful. Now, you know the story about little David and Goliath. Let me just tell you how that fits in. 1 Samuel 17, you don't need to turn there, tells us the true story of King Saul and the Israelites facing a battle with the Philistines. And the head of the Philistines, as far as the guy that was out in front, is that 9-foot giant called Goliath. So when David came, he had his brothers that were in the army, the Israel army. They were there, and let me just say it like this. There, over here, is the Goliath. And there's a kind of a valley between them. If you ever go to Israel with this, you'll see the exact valley where this took place. And the Israelite people are going, I can stand there, but I'm not going over there. That guy will just kill us all. We're not moving. And that went back and forth, back and forth. He's making fun of them, and they're backing up more. And little David comes to bring food to his brothers. And what happens is, here's Saul. He says, my men won't fight. I don't know what to do. And David is going to tell a story. Now, when little David is going to tell a story, Saul's going to do this. Yeah, right. But he is right. Let me read it to you. And David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and I killed it. Now that's the past. That's the past. Verse 36. But your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. And David's faith has been tested before the lion and the bear. So what he's saying to Saul is, I have two successes in the past. And God sent me here, not just to feed my brothers, but to take care of this giant that nobody will go after. Verse 37 said this, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now, what is our whole premise? God says, follow me forward together. That's exactly what's happening. David knows that he's going to stand against this giant in his own strength. Forget it. He's going to stand in the strength of God. How did he defeat those animals? It wasn't his own strength. It was God strengthening him. You have to understand that. Remember, without God, we can do what? Nothing. But with God, we can do everything he asks us to do. And that's exactly why, because it's all about following God. So when you see that happening there, basically, what happens? with a sling and great confidence in God, David killed Goliath. Just a sling and those little stones. Then he went and chopped his head off. So here's what you need to understand. I just told you this. David used his past successes, which weren't really his. They were God's successes, but God used him to go forward by stepping out in faith and killing Goliath. Now, this blue suitcase reminds us of our past successes. But often when this happens in our life, let me just ask you to think about this. You're a Christian. God's using you. You've done great things. You feel really good. Here's what some people do. They just stop in their growth. I'm satisfied. I did good enough. The end result is okay. They become stagnant. There's no spiritual growth. But there's one other thing that happens. See, when you think it's you, why would you want to go more? Well, it isn't you. It isn't me. It's God and me. So here's what happens. Then you'll tell somebody, man, God really used me. Wow, that's fantastic. Example like I told you about. That's why I tried to explain to you. When I tell you how many people got saved, that isn't about me. It's about God. Yes, he uses people. He uses all of us. But here's the thing. If you stand up and talk about how God's used you, when you look in here, that's a sin of pride, and God hates it. He thinks you and I think we did it. You know better than that. Now, I have to say this to you. We're all prideful people. Pastors have to work at that. Wow, look at me. Forget it. Without God, nothing. Same with you. And so that is what Paul is trying to say. Think of all that Paul did. Now, here's something else. When you see this, there's no spiritual growth. So when I look at the past, and it's this, I'm thinking of God in the past. That's very dangerous for individuals and churches. Here's a couple of statements that make no sense at all. Pastor Mark, I remember 20 years ago how passionate I was for the Lord. Man, was I on fire. 20 years ago? How you doing now? Well, I have a great past. God is not the God of the past. How are you doing now? Another one. I really know the whole Bible. I learned it all these years. See, those two statements say this. No spiritual growth, status quo, stagnant. But it is exciting sometimes to look forward by looking back. Let me give you an example. In the end of March, we will have been a church for 29 years. We'll celebrate a 29-year anniversary. Now, when we started that church, I had no idea what God was going to do. We had like 100 people for months and months and months. We never knew what was going to do. But when I look back now, I think of all the people that came to the Lord in those 29 years. Oh, my goodness. Was that me? No, that was God. And here we are. We have missionaries all around the world. Was that me? No, God sent them. And they're ministering in so many different countries from this church. We have church plants all over the United States. Was that me? No, that was God calling them. And a big one, who would have ever thought we'd have three wonderful campuses, Melbourne, Sebastian, Vieira. Was that me? No, that's God. And they're impacting their community. Let me say this to you. God is a God of today. Now, why do I say that? Do you think now at 29, we might as well just close the door because we accomplished everything God can do and we're going to close the church right down? Do you think that's what God wants? No, he's just beginning. Does that shock you? If he's just beginning, who's the expect to help it go forward? Raise your hand. Every single one of us. Because this world is lost in sin. This world needs Jesus. And so when you see that, it's just, I just write it like this. There's so many adventures ahead for us. Relax. So we must go forward. Look at this writing. So the best thing to do is to let our past accomplishments empower us to follow God forward today and grow in our faith. Can I remind you about this? Stop talking about your relation with God in the past tense. Now, what do I mean by that? By this. When you look at the Bible, you never hear this. God is not the great I was. He's the great I am right now. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Not in the past, right now. Do you get it? Quit talking about your relationship in the past. Yes, I can learn from there. Yes, there's some good things. But don't live in the past. I need God right now. Can you imagine me talking to you if the Holy Spirit hasn't anointed me to talk to you today? You'd have been gone 5 minutes after the music stopped. Because I have nothing to offer you. But I have the living word to offer you this morning. Why? Because God, his anointing. It isn't me. It's the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful with this. Careful. If you can use what God's done for you, going forward, go for it. Absolutely. That's why I'm still pastoring at 77 years old. Praise God. But God has helped me. I've been through lots of stuff. So as I said, as long as we're breathing and can do what he asks, he's got stuff for us to do. Now, notice this. Paul would follow God forward because he knew this verse. Look at, he wrote this verse. Now, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us right now to accomplish infinitely more than you and I can even ask or think. Paul tells us we're to follow God forward because there's unlimited opportunities out there. Praise God. That's what we want to do. Yet many people just settle for less. I'm cool. Everything's good. I'm going to heaven. No. He's got a plan for you. Pray. Prayer culture is a wonderful time to do this. Otherwise, past successes become mediocrity. Nothing. It's useless. No growth. So Paul tells us how to follow God forward and focus on the future. Here's the second key. We have to learn to forget about our past sins, failures, guilt, shame, and regrets. So there's the successes and the accomplishments. This is our past as well. But this past is about sins, failures, shame, guilt, regrets. Think about what's the biggest regret in your life? We all have them. What one thing would you like to change if you could start over? Just think about it. All of us have regrets. We would love to take the clock and go and clean the slate. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. The past is the past. Shame. Let me give you some examples of shame. We've been there too. I'm ashamed to tell people that we lost our home because we made bad financial decisions. And the reason I'm shameful is my husband and I never asked God for his wisdom. See, people will blame it on God. No, they forgot to ask him. We've all done that. We make a decision, we go, oh my goodness, I never even asked God. Guilt. I wish I knew the Bible better after being a Christ follower for 21 years. I could interject prayer right there. I pray enough, God. Oh, no, I don't. Prayer is one of the hard things. It's work. It's spiritual warfare. Failure. I wish I could have been a better father. I failed my kids. I wish I could go back and be a better mother. I picked one child to be more important than the other one. Regrets. I've ruined our marriage because of my affair. Will God still forgive me? Here's another one. Sin. I wish I'd obeyed the Bible and had not done, you fill in the blank. All of us have failed, but because of God, we're not failures. I want you to think about that. We've all failed. We're not proud of it, but we are not failures. Many people continue to be chained by their past sins, failure, guilt, regrets, shame. Too many people start living life by playing this game. If only. There is no if only. It's in the past. You have to have God to come in. Remember, the Bible tells us the battle is where? Come on. In our mind. And Satan will open this thing all the way open and get your mind to start thinking about those things. And his whole goal when he does that is he wants to condemn you. And when we feel condemned, many people just give up. Do you know why so many people have committed suicide during this virus? They feel condemned. There's no hope. There's nowhere. And Satan goes, you'll not go. And I'll read you some of those words. Careful. Satan is a liar. And we have to understand there's a solution to that. Now, Satan brings to our minds the past, all of those things. And he lies to you. Here's what Satan will say in our minds. We've all heard this a little bit. You will never please God. You have never changed. Now, this is the fourth time you said to God, I'll never do it again. Really? God's displeased with you. You lied to God. You will never be a real Christ follower. Satan loves to condemn people because of their past. Now, when you think about that, Satan won't just come once. He'll come back. He'll come back again. And you say, well, Satan, I've already asked God to forgive me. And Satan will say to you, then why are you asking again? He failed you. No, that's a lie. The key problem is, I feel guilty. Wrong word. Feeling doesn't matter. Look at the statement. A Christ follower does not live by feeling. We live by the truth of God's word. Now, how, Pastor Mark, you say, how can I know I am not condemned? Well, take a look. So now there is no condemnation. How much? None. For those who belong to Jesus Christ. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Good. No condemnation. Now, how did that happen? Let me read the second part. It's not on the screen. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. You see, when you're born again, when I'm born again, condemnation ends. It was taken care of. Christ followers are freed from the penalty of sin by simply asking forgiveness. On the cross, Jesus paid for our sins. Don't ever let Satan say, remember that sin you did back 5 years ago or last week? Well, God doesn't care for you. You'll never make it. You're a liar. You know the verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? See, the memory's up there. And what does God do? When I ask forgiveness, does God forgive us? Yes, he does. And he wipes the slate clean. But you know what? Satan will have a picture of it. and put it right back in your mind. Tell them, get out of here. You're a terrible photographer. There's nothing there. Praise God. But who has to do that? You and I. Because he'll always be there. Go back. Forget the feelings. Go back to the Word of God. That's why we teach the Bible. That's truth. It's totally truth. Now, Louis Giglio makes a great statement. Listen to it. Continuing to beat up ourselves up over our failures does not honor Christ, who already has been beaten up for them. When Jesus went to the cross, your sin, my sin, everybody's sin was put on him. He was beaten for it and he died. Why should we let Satan beat us up when we're freed by the power of the Holy Spirit? I love that statement. True, when God forgives us, he does. We can only go forward in God. Watch this. We can learn from our past, but we don't live in the past. You're learning things today, so am I. But we don't live in the past. Now, here's what we have to understand. When you see that happening, truth is here. God, I want you to look at this. To forget, no longer influenced by my memories. Not influenced or affected. You can have them. You can open all the stuff all you want. How many of you would like to open up this suitcase, you're prideful for your successes, and you're shameful for your sins? How'd you like it opening up today, right here? I'd ask you one at a time to come up and tell me the things that you have. Who would be first? Not me. That's what Satan wants to do. You know what happens with the blood of Jesus Christ? Remember what we sang this morning? I don't want to fail your face, your grace. I don't want to fail your forgiveness. So when you open that up as a Christian, those suitcases are empty. They're empty. Why? God does supernatural things. I learn from my past, but I can't live in it. Cut it out. Now you're going to see something. When you leave this service, go home and think about it. Shame, guilt. Wish I hadn't done that. I regret it. Ask God if there's something you need to just forget and ask him to clean the slate and go forward. Amen? Amen. See, I can't do that for you. You say, well, Pastor Mark, I don't have any of those things. Well, then you need to get to the altar first because we're all guilty. Am I right? We look at some things in the past and go, what a stupid person. We've all done that. Don't go there. It's all been taken care of. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. The battle is here. The battle is here. But he gives us a mind of truth and a new start all the time. Now, when you think about that, I just want you to say this with me, and then I'm going to talk about people needing to get saved. Look at this. Jesus said it like this. No one who puts his hand to the plow, going forward, looks back. What happens to the row? Is not fit for the kingdom of God. See, you can't look back in the back. We have to go forward. Because God isn't leading us to the back. He's leading us forward. Read this with me on the count of three. All of you, all the places watching me. One, two, three. God says, I must never allow my past to control my future. Amen. See, we do learn from our past, but we cannot live in it. Now, next week, Paul's going to tell us how to move forward. Don't miss it. And I have a miracle for you to tell you that's happened to our church next week. All God. Don't miss it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I know there's people watching that know about you, but they don't have a personal relationship with you. They've been trying to do a life without following God. They're following themselves, and it just never, ever works. You need to do one thing to get a brand new start. It's already been paid for. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and put your trust and faith in Jesus. God's promises to forgive you, help, and direct your life every day. You will get the guarantee of heaven forever. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Now, some of you, in the past, you really did follow God. You were doing terrific. But all of a sudden, the growth stopped. And for some reason, you took a detour. And nothing current is happening in your life. I want to say to you today, you can make a recommitment this morning. You say, well, I don't think God will forgive me. You're wrong. He forgives all of us. And he wants to give you a new start, just as much as a brand new start for a person that has never asked him to come into their life. In a moment, I'm going to make a prayer. If you want to make a recommitment or to become a Christ follower, just quietly pray this prayer under your voice with me right now. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that you died on the cross for me. I need your forgiveness. I realize you've paid for my sins. So I choose today to repent of my sins. I'm sorry for them. And I want to put my faith and trust in you and begin to follow you as a lifestyle and obey you and be changed by you. I look forward to that life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.